Hey guys, welcome to the Emerald Archer Podcast, DC Green Arrow Fan Podcast. I'm Ed, one half of the co-hosting duties for the show.
And I'm Nick, I will be the other half of the co-hosting duties for this show.
This is a spoiler podcast, so the books that we talk about, we'll talk about the art and the story and what happens and giveaway endings and all that kind of stuff. So for the first couple books, it probably isn't a big deal, but for the third book, which is a current book, some folks may want to turn it off until they get a chance to read it. We'll let you know when we get to that so that to pause or whatever you want to do. The three books on tap for this show are the 1938 volume of Adventure Comics, issues 253 and 254, and the current Green Arrow volume, issue 2.
It's ironic that you say it's a spoiler podcast, because saying it's a spoiler podcast is spoiling the podcast for those who want to see if it's a spoiler podcast.
Who want to know, yes. So now you know, if you don't want to be spoiled, thanks for stopping by. But yeah, we'll let you know when that Green Arrow comes up. Should be safe because all the issue 2s are out, and I think this Green Arrow came out like the first week of October. You might not have gotten
later.
Your monthly shipment, because I haven't gotten mine yet. So
for October?
Yeah, it comes out the first week of the next month usually. So I stop and get the current books
from the
at the shop so that we have them. But just thinking off the top of my head, I know that my order hasn't come in, so anybody else that ordered their monthly might not have come in yet either.
Well, the number 2 will be at the end, so you can listen to us up until that point and cut us off, read your book, and then listen to the rest.
Yeah, that's cool. All right, so we're starting out with Adventure Comics 253. The story we're going to look at is the second story in that issue. It's the October 1958 issue. The title is The Prisoners of Dimension Zero. This is the second part of a story that started in 252 that we talked about with Episode 5, mm-hmm. about the big arrows that are suddenly appearing, different kinds of arrows, and they hitch a ride on one and it gets pulled back.
A rope arrow pulled into a different dimension.
The last thing we saw was a giant that had been firing the arrows, and then that was the end of the story. So it's a continuation of that one. We've got a script by Ed Herron with pencils and inks by Jack Kirby, and an assist on the inks by Roz Kirby. All right, we start the story here with a splash page. We've got somebody that looks like Green Arrow, but there's a little Green Arrow and Speedy on his back here.
Pretty much action figure size, too. I saw it first. I'm like, why does this Green Arrow have two little action figures hanging onto his quiver? That's the real Green Arrow and Speedy.
This is one of the giants that on this dimension that they went into, but this isn't necessarily the guy that was firing the arrows, which we kind of find out later what was going on with that. So we don't know how they got from there to here specifically, but they're riding on a giant Green Arrow dressed kind of dude, and he's getting ready to try to apprehend a bad guy that has a ray gun,
yes.
And this Green Arrow is referred to as Zeen Arrow by Speedy, it looks like. Zeen is X-E-E-N. So
I wonder if Zeen is green in their dimension. Like, Zeen is like the color green for us.
Could be, I would say, yeah. I mean,
it was something I was thinking about when I read it.
They couldn't call him Green Arrow because there's already one of those in the story.
Right.
So maybe Zeen is the name of this dimension, or the name of the planet that they're on, or something like that.
Maybe. And it just happens to work, too.
We see the story that Ed Herron turned in, the script here, takes us back a little bit into the previous issue. And we see that Green Arrow and Speedy are investigating, like I said, these giant arrows that have suddenly been appearing on Earth. And they jump on this one arrow, and it's a giant cable arrow. They get pulled back, or not back, well, that arrow gets pulled back into the dimension it came from, and these guys, Green Arrow and Speedy, are riding on it.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
During that trip, Green Arrow reminisces about, the things, if this is the end, or we can't get back. We'll never see the Arrow cave. We'll never see the Arrow car. Oh, we won't be able to go to the mall and sign autographs for the kids. Which I thought was kind of lame. But
ask for our autographs and played with the Green Arrow toy Arrow kit. I want one.
So now we're current, and we see Green Arrow and Speedy have landed on the ground in this other dimension, and they're running away to hide, trying to run into some nearby bushes, which probably turns out to be more grass because they're
very small.
Yeah, they're probably...
I'm still saying action figure size.
4 to 6 inches tall, to us, would be the, like, the
what's the word? Proportion? Proportionally.
Yeah, so that's the way they appear here. So they run into the bushes, and they're watching, and they see that what's happening is some children, I don't know how they know they're children, per se, because they're all giants.
Oh, yeah, they're only 1,000 feet tall, I guess.
So they're firing these arrows, and the arrows are disappearing in a dimensional hole, and they surmise or deduce that we must be from the other side of that dimensional hole, and we got pulled into their dimension.
That answers your question that you did, though. You said you don't know how they got onto Zine Arrow. They had run away from the children who were on top of the roof shooting the arrows, and then
right, that's where splash they were. Page was, as far as the story, like
a third
of the way into the story,
yeah.
And they made a big splash page. Usually, though, the splash pages have been like right at the beginning of the story or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So they went a little farther to make it this time. But we see that the woods that they're in, the practice range that these kids are using, is actually on top of a building.
It's a rooftop garden.
And so they you know, try to run through the vegetation and everything and come up to, like, the edge of the roof, the mm-hmm. end of where they're at. And they, you know, look down over and they see the buildings and they see, I believe this probably turns out to be like their aeroplane for the Zine Arrow.
The equivalent of the aeroplane.
The yellow
yes.
Aircraft spaceship looking thing here. Down on the ground level here on this dimension, there's a guy that's just robbed a bank, and some of the regular citizens are standing there, you know, basically
pointing.
Look,
he robbed the bank.
Yeah,
it's not obvious that he's
running out with
a box of alien whatever the currency would be.
Right.
I don't know. They don't probably call it money. They probably call it Zunny or something like with an X, you know, because they took our stuff.
Right, because he's the Zine Arrow, so it's money with a L.
Zunny. Lunny. Bunny.
Yeah.
No, that's already taken.
Who knows?
Which, yeah. I was thinking if you put any other letter, technically, in our language, it'd be pronounced Loney or, you know, Zony.
Yeah, it sounds
it doesn't work.
Too weird for us to figure out. But
it's unpronounceable by humans like the doctor's name.
So, exactly.
Reference.
That's our pop culture reference for this episode. They're watching Green Arrow and Speedy are watching this bank robber down below, and they see the entrance of this person dressed like a Green Arrow, kind of different, same colors. And people down on the ground refer to him as Zine Arrow. So they see the Zine Arrow come to try to stop this bank robber who is shooting some sort of ray gun at him, and Zine Arrow fires quickly, one after the other, 4 different arrows to stop him. He fires a smoke arrow to
blind him,
obscure his vision, right? He fires an arrow that knocks the gun out of his hand. The 3rd arrow is a chain arrow, and as it flies by, it wraps a chain around the bad guy's hands. Both hands just happen to be together to make it convenient to wrap around.
Yes.
And then the 4th arrow is an acetylene arrow that hits the chains and welds it wrapped around his wrists with a cold, harmless heat. That way it doesn't burn the guy.
Right. And he does care. Just like Green Arrow would, he wouldn't want to hurt them.
Right, right. So then the Zine Arrow unmasks him. Of course, we don't know who he is.
Yeah.
But while he's doing this...
He's the Hitler of their world.
Maybe so. The Zine Arrow has an accomplice, and the accomplice is over to the side with another gun getting ready to shoot Zine Arrow. Green Arrow and Speedy have... And I don't believe we saw this. Let's see. Yeah, they when Zine Arrow passed by their perch going to stop the bank robber, that's when they jumped onto his back and they're riding on his quiver.
Right.
Because several of the they're just panels show them already there. But on his quiver, they see that this guy with the gun is getting ready to shoot, and they shoot off all of their balloon arrows, Speedy and Manny.
Which is a lot of balloon arrows.
Isn't it a lot of arrows, man?
Like, at least 30 or 40 in that one frame alone.
Yeah. And what happens is as they shoot them towards the guy with the gun, and as they do, the balloon blows up. And then as these arrows hit him, which is odd, I thought, rather than sticking him like little pins.
Well, maybe it's
They just pop, kind of distracting him. And
maybe the arrowheads aren't something that would, go in him, like plastic or something, just enough to go through the air.
They're, blunt, flat kind of thing. So all the little balloons popping on him kind of throw him off, and he flinches and drops his gun. And by this time,
Oh, I was confused there for a second.
By this time, Zine Arrow sees him, and he turns and shoots several plastic net arrows at this other bad guy. And as those arrows pass by, they kind of release this fluidy, sticky, gluey kind of stuff.
A gummy substance
that entraps the bad guy almost like a bubble gum or a glue or something like that. I don't know why they didn't call it a glue arrow.
Maybe they don't have glue.
But they called it plastic net arrows, and it doesn't look like a net.
Maybe they don't know what gum is in Dimension Zero. They call it Guzama.
Who knows? Yeah, what they would call it.
I don't know what their lingo is.
Then Zine Arrow jumps in his futuristic-looking arrow car.
Very cool.
And drives to his equivalent of the Arrow Cave, and turns out that he is a leading scientist on this world or in this dimension, and he notices as he's putting up his Zine Arrow gear, as he's switching to his regular civilian identity, he notices that Green Arrow and Speedy are there on his quiver, and he starts talking to them. And earlier, Green Arrow and Speedy realized that these people were communicating, but they didn't hear them talk. They heard them in their head.
And maybe, even though, because I was thinking about this, the quiver is literally right behind his head, mm-hmm. so you would hear them talking out loud. Maybe they can't, hear physically.
Well,
I don't know.
Even though they have some pretty big elf size ears.
I was just curious because they were sitting right here talking, and even if an action figure was sitting on my shoulder that big, it was talking, I would know something's back there. I'd turn around and see him or something.
You'd probably still hear it maybe as a whisper or something.
Yeah, something.
Maybe they, even though they have ears, they just can't hear anymore. Mm-hmm. They don't use them. So.
They've developed their whatever it is. Evolved.
Yes. So Green Arrow and Speedy are thinking to them, talking, and they exchange stories. Zine Arrow puts together, so that explains what's been happening to the toy arrows that have been vanishing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he surmises, Zine Arrow does, that it must be related to the comet. And, of course, Green Arrow is
of course, comets. Yes.
And it turns out that there is a comet in their universe, in their galaxy, that has gone by closer to the planet than a comet has before. And it's caused various freaky things to happen. And Zine figures, one of the things that happened is it must have opened or maybe multiple dimensional gaps. Well, we have to get you back because I know that the comet is getting ready to pass by.
When it leaves, you won't be able to get to your dimension anymore.
Not affect us anymore.
Yeah.
So that means that whatever this is doing is getting ready to not be done anymore, so we need to get you back.
Mm-hmm.
So he puts them on an arrow, or they climb on an arrow, and he fires it at the roof garden that they're from.
And Lord knows how far away they actually are from that roof garden.
I have no idea. And it looks it doesn't really say it, but this must be like some kind of rocket arrow, because you see in that one panel it has that flame trail. And I don't think it ever really says what it is, but he shoots it and it flies through for two or three panels and then goes through one of these dimensional gaps.
It says it's a target, right? Directly into the target center. That could be what the kids were shooting at. They weren't just shooting it off a building. They were shooting it at the target.
At the target, but it's not like a real target. It's this dimensional thing.
And they were shooting it and it was going through.
And just as this rocket arrow with Green Arrow and Speedy on it gets into that dimensional gap, it happens to close. Although on the next panel you can see it closing didn't really damage the arrow.
No. Because I was expecting those tail whatever to be just cut off.
Right, and then crash with just half an arrow. Yeah. But no, it's the full rockety kind of arrow that has kind of a little tail to help it fly. And Green Arrow and Speedy use a couple parachute arrows to slow it down as it drops. I guess what happens is it shot long enough that the fuel maybe was spent. And it just started to fall, and to slow that fall, they used their parachute arrows. Then they, after they landed, they took this giant rocket arrow from Dimension Zero back to the arrow cave as a trophy and added it to their trophy room.
Now, I also noticed that on this alien, he was very lightning design based. He has a lightning bolt on his quiver. His mask is a lightning bolt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
His bow is even a lightning bolt. We even saw that one in the last issue.
Yeah. So everything is to us what we would call a lightning design on it.
Yeah, and even on his outfit, when he turns into a civilian, he kind of has zigzags on his shoulders too.
Right, on his shoulder decorations on his outfit there. So maybe, I don't know, maybe Zine is like lightning in their language or something.
But all right.
There we go. There's that issue of Green Arrow. The first two-issue story that we've
two-part,
had.
Yeah, two-part story.
And that's pretty cool. Kind of get you...
Getting official.
Excited about, the next issue, because I don't know what happened.
Yeah, we got to wait.
I want to hurry up and read that one.
Like Saturday morning cartoons.
Kind of, yeah.
What happens next week?
That serialized kind of thing.
Serial.
All right, the next book we've got up is the 1938 volume of Adventure Comics, issue 254. We're looking at the sixth story in that issue, the November 1958 issue, and the Green Arrow story is entitled The Green Arrow's Last Stand. And that is scripted by Dave Wood, which I believe is a new scripter. I don't think we've seen anything from Dave Wood.
They're walking away with Wood.
Pencils and inks, in a sexy way.
No, not in a sexy way.
But with pencils and inks by Jack Kirby and an assist on the inks by Roz Kirby.
Okay. So it opens up on a splash page, the Green Arrow's Last Stand. They're in something that looks like the aeroplane, but the aeroplane hasn't looked like this before, has it?
Not.
It kind of looks like an aero blimp with wings. But Green Arrow and Speedy are kind of defending the aeroplane with three civilians, with Indians attacking them in all directions, shooting bows and arrows. We obviously know that Green Arrow is an already better archer because, Indians only have arrows. Green Arrow has jujitsu arrows, the unlucky arrows, all those.
Which, now that you mention it, there is a page that we're maintaining on the Green Arrow or the Emerald Archers website, a tab up at the upper left-hand corner, that lists by issue all the different arrows that have been named as we run across them that are new. So we're adding the new
names. We don't have the duplicates
to the list. We haven't added the arrows from this podcast yet. But the first five, all the arrows are listed, and there we go. Just another resource, just a a goofy kind of thing to go look and see some of the names of the arrows. And like I said, it's only the ones that they have spoken a set name for.
Yes, if we've seen them, but only assume, we don't put them in there.
Yeah, no, we don't say, well, that looks like a this kind. Or
yes.
We wait for them to name it, and then that's when we add it to the list.
Okay, so we go to the story where Green Arrow and Speedy are in their penthouse suite. They said they haven't heard any word from a Professor Hagen, which I think this is the second story having to do with the professor being missing. All these educated people just...
Was he the same dude that was on the boat, or was it just another professor?
I think it might have been another professor, because in the story, this professor looks a lot younger than the other one.
So Green Arrow and Speedy are like the protectors of professors.
Yes.
Because, okay.
They're PPs.
Right.
And not in a sexy way.
Not in a sexy way. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Well, no, actually, it does kind of look like him, because he's got the mustache. So it might be him. I'll do the research sometime and post it on our page on Facebook. Okay, so they go out on their patrol as Green Arrow and Speedy in the aeroplane, and they see a car that looks like it's been in a an accident, because it's really stormy and the roads were bumpy and hilly. So Arrow shoots a two-way radio arrow. That's a pretty cool one.
Yeah, that is.
He shoots a two-way radio arrow down to what he assumes to be the professor and talks to him, and it turns out to be the professor. And he doesn't know what to do to get down there, and for some reason he starts listing off these arrows, not the fountain pen arrow.
Yeah, will it help? Well, this one won't help, and that one will help.
Dry ice, flare, balloon, boomerang, and two-stage rocket arrow. None of those will help.
Six, yeah, they named six different arrows.
We know those won't help because he said they won't help. So they do a ladder arrow. What is it? Yeah, a rope ladder, which we saw in the Unlucky Arrow issue.
Well, if you'll notice, though, arrow is in quotes. I think that's because they didn't use an actual arrow. They just used
a rope ladder
that was part of the arrow plane. So,
yeah.
And the arrow plane would qualify as an arrow.
Because it's an arrow
And plane. So that's probably why it's in quotes.
Yeah. Okay, so he lowers himself down by his feet on the rope ladder of the aeroplane down to the professor, which... he tries to pull the professor up, or he can't get to the professor. No, he can't get to the professor. The wind catches hold of the aeroplane because it's so stormy. It basically just makes them crash into a rock wall, which I still don't like the way the aeroplane looks in this issue. I just keep looking at it from different angles.
Yeah, it's not the...
It's the aero blimp.
Yeah, it's not the nice, streamlined, futuristic-looking plane. The... middle part of the plane, guys, the fuselage is like
a potato,
big and round,
right?
Rather
not
than
aerodynamic,
some kind of streamline-looking mm-hmm. thing. So, yeah, I don't know why they decided to do that. This is Jack Kirby, and he's been drawing all of these other issues, and now all of a sudden he draws the plane differently.
Was it a different writer, though? Did you say maybe the writer said he wanted a different
could be
plane? You know,
the aeroplane, and you know, looks like this, and mm-hmm. then. Could be. I don't know.
Okay, so they crash and they get all the people who are in that car accident together with Green Arrow and Speedy, and they show an Indian looking at them, just kind of observing them. And then the next thing you know, they get ambushed. Yeah, there we go. Ambushed by the Indians shooting arrows, but Green Arrow says, "No, I'm not going to have this," and he shoots a couple of his trick arrows, you know, rope arrow, net arrow, and they do the cliche, "What magic is this?" And then they run away. It looks like the chief says, "Run away from these strange arrows. We know not of this." Green Arrow is like, "That's right. You guys go away." And everybody, of course, is all sitting around saying, "Wow, how did Indians get here?" And they cut to the Indian tribe. They're talking about these arrows that they've never seen, and that this is a great archer that we've never seen before. And Brave Turtle and Big Turtle, I like those names.
Yeah, that is like, I guess, like the chief. and I guess like maybe the second son. In command.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I don't. It could be the son, but both of these guys look like they're about the same age. Yeah. You know, running some kind of scam or something. So, but yeah.
So, they're talking. They're saying we can't let our tribe find out about the outside world because they'll want to leave the tribe and we won't have control of them anymore. And they keep referring to them as the Pale Faces, which makes sense skin color wise, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I think this one is Brave Turtle says that he's going to create a fake tribal legend to get the tribe members to stop, I guess, pseudo-worshipping Green Arrow like he's some kind of idol.
Right. He's going to come up with a legend that he can't, Green Arrow can't live up to.
Yeah.
And so then all of the tribe will see, he's not this guy because he can't do these great, wonderful things. So
just leave him alone.
Yeah, no matter what it is he can do, he's not this big Indian Arrow god like we think he is.
Yeah. So then it cuts back to Green Arrow's camp with pretty much the entire tribe of Indians there. The Indian says, if you are the greatest archer in the legend, then let us all worship you. And Green Arrow says, there's a legend for an archer? And Brave Turtle says, oh, of course. The greatest archer can fire arrows at the full moon and cause thunder to roar across the skies and rain to fall. Well, first of all, there's a problem. There's not a full moon right now. There's a quarter moon.
Well, and is it night or day?
It looks like night. I know what you're saying right there because it's yellow.
Well, and then on
and it
down,
looks like sunlight.
It's a light blue sky when he shoots the arrow. So
I think it's supposed to be night.
Still night of the of the first attack when they crashed and everything.
Right. Okay. So yes, the first problem is there's only a quarter moon, and they have to shoot it at the full moon. So first, they shoot an arrow up at the full moon, and Green Arrow says, look, there's a full moon now. And Speedy says, look, there's a full moon now. And Green Arrow's, watch as I shoot my arrows at it and cause thunder and rain to occur. And he does, and thunder happens, and it pours rain all over the place. And Green Arrow catches the guy on his bluff and says, I guess I am the one in this, and you can't see this, quote-unquote, legend, and I am the great king. And he just wanted to prove the chief, or whatever he was, the second-in-command, wrong, but he knows he's not, because he knows it was just a baloney legend. So it shows Green Arrow and Speedy talking. Speedy said, it's a good thing we shot the balloon arrow up. It resembled a full moon. And the two-stage rocket arrow, which released... Oh, that was the one that released the full moon. They shot a firecracker arrow to cause the thunder past the clouds. And a dry ice arrow broke open, seeding the clouds. Which, there's already a cloud-seeding arrow, but it wasn't called the dry ice arrow.
Yeah, it was called a cloud-seeding arrow, I think they called it.
Yeah, it really was, in the arrow decks. Which is on our page, for your convenience.
Yes.
And then, since they said... there's this great master of archery now. We should go out and leave the tribe because our chief and second in command have been wrong. And
right. We, you know, probably there's a little bit more to it than really what we what they showed here.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell by what Green Arrow said that he was on to these two guys that they weren't really Indians. They were like running a scam on the rest of these people. In the late 50s, early 60s, there's no reason for Indians still to be running around like they did in the 1870s and 1880s, like you see in all the movies and everything. So that, you know, kind of clued him in. So probably after he did all this and everything, word got around that these two guys were fakes because they disappear.
Yeah, after they got proved wrong.
Nobody seems to know where they are. And so I think what it is that, you know, it's pretty typical a group of people, particularly in like, you know, movies and stuff, when the leaders go down, the people kind of lose
right
wanting faith to stay together. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, maybe these Indians decided, well, since we don't have our leaders now, we'll go out and see what everything else is like, or maybe we'll go out and see if we can find other leaders or something like that. So,
and this, ladies and gentlemen, was the start of the casinos.
Yes, yes. The very first casino ever was the Green Arrow and Speedy Casino.
Look, yes, very popular. But Green Arrow does say right here, the descendants of the old Sioux tribe, there was a part of the tribe that wandered off in 1880 and vanished. They must have migrated to this remote valley.
So there we go. So they were cut off, and then these two regular guys, or maybe two older Indians or whatever, that found them, kind of kept them cut off.
Yeah, because maybe they got cut off, but all the other Indians that didn't migrated toward a more modern life.
Right, right.
And started doing things the pale-faced way. And they kind of secluded them over to the side so they didn't experience the modern world and be corrupted.
And that way they could still rule mm-hmm. over them because they didn't know any better.
Right. So. They didn't know there was anything else out there. All right. So that was issue number 2 for today.
All right. And the third and final book we're going to talk about is the 2011 volume of Green Arrow. This is the second issue of the new 52 Green Arrow volume for all of you that need to do something so that you don't have us spoil this. This book is written by J.T. Kroll, layouts by Dan Jurgens, and finishes by George Perez. Colors were by the Horries, and lettering was done by Bob Lay. I believe it's Lay.
I still like Comic Sans. It's really the font I use for everything when I'm typing papers.
Yes, yes.
It's frowned upon in English, but...
Well, you know, everything comic booky is frowned upon in English.
I know.
I
just want to draw like a giant word bubble around my paper so it just looks like a giant conversation box.
Right, yeah.
Because it's like Comic Sans.
All right, so this issue opens with... Remember now, this is a spoiler, so...
Yeah, so if you haven't read this, you might want to leave now.
There's a news lady talking about a couple criminals called Lime and Light.
Both twins, both wearing green.
Yes, redheaded female twins.
Yes.
And she's talking about their latest escapades. The most recent time they've been seen here, they were spotted at a nightclub, and then... Soon after, perhaps connected, was a fire at the same hotel, a suite in that hotel. And then after that, the twins were caught up with again in a different city and were interviewed. And then we find out that actually somebody is sitting in a restaurant watching this on, say, their iPad.
That's what it looks like.
So they're catching up on the news. And as he's doing this, one of the twins comes flying through the window.
Yes.
And then we see that Green Arrow has caused her somehow to fly through the window. We don't really see what he did, but now he's trying to swing away from her twin, who is attempting to stop him by firing perhaps laser or some kind of energy from her hand at him.
I'm thinking, like, I still think it's radiation just because of their name.
Okay.
I don't know why, but Limelight just seems like something that would...
Limelight?
Radiation. I don't know. Because
okay.
Isn't that Limelight? Like, when you're in people are concentrating on you, you're in the Limelight.
Yeah, the Limelight means you're the focus, you're the main thing, most important thing, so...
His costume is sick. I mean, he's got his little bow in his hand that hasn't extended yet.
I guess that must be the size for when he like packs it away somewhere.
Yes,
his body in one of his pouches.
It's nasty.
I will say that I am liking the new costume that he's got. It's pretty cool. It's a combination of an older costume with the hood, but then he's got some pouches, and he's got that square quiver, which I like.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than
mm-hmm.
the old-fashioned tube quiver
right,
that
on
you
the
see.
Back. And do you see his belt buckle? It's a G, but it's also an arrow.
An arrow also, yeah. So he's running away from whichever twin this is.
Does it not say? No, but she's an attention whore.
It doesn't say. He's trying to get far enough away, and then he turns and he fires an arrow at her that... in essence, shorts her out.
That's a cool looking arrow.
Doesn't really say what it is. And then she's knocked unconscious, and as she's falling, he shoots some kind of line arrow that wraps itself around her, and
What is it, a lariat arrow?
Maybe so, yeah.
Because they use that in the older ones.
He catches her and then probably ties it off so that she's just hanging there, but she's okay. Because now her twin sister, who got thrown through the window, has recovered.
Light was the one outside. Who fell. Yeah. This is Lime.
Lime is the one inside, who is now powering up to do something.
Charging.
We see her, yeah, she's like charging up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Green Arrow then is going to try to take care of her now. She's next on the hit list. And she's wanting to get him because he was the one that threw her into the window. And as she's going after him, he hits her with one of these, like, arrows that is shorted out her. I assume it's her sister, since they're twins.
They look like twins.
And knocks her out. So he's subdued Lime and Light. Next, we see that he is playing a pickup game against a friend of his.
You don't really say who. I guess it doesn't matter. But he has dreads and he's black if it comes into play in some later issue.
I think we saw him in the first issue, but I don't remember what his name is. That's a shortcoming on my part to not look that up.
Yeah.
But you kind of get the impression that this is a regular thing. And Oliver probably does it to help him stay in shape.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
stay healthy.
A quick game of basketball. And as they're playing, this dude Emerson comes up, who is the
head
president.
Was it CEO?
Or the CEO of
Queen
Ollie's company.
Yeah.
But Oliver still owns it.
Because it's still his. I mean.
Yeah. So Emerson is giving him a hard time because he's not a suit stiff kind of.
You need to be at charity events
owner.
And all this. Yeah.
He's more the freewheeling, do whatever he wants.
He's got the money and the time.
Come and go, jet setting kind of thing. Now, Emerson doesn't know he's Green Arrow, but he does know that there have been times when Ollie couldn't be found, avoids doing functions, suit and tie kind of functions and appearances and stuff. So Emerson has kind of a problem with the fact that he wants this stiff, straight-laced company to be respected and to be looked at that way. But the owner...
He's not setting a good example.
Yeah, is all jet-setty and devil-may-care-ish and everything like that. So basically, it turns out to be a personality conflict. Not really getting the sense that what Oliver is doing is really hurting the company or the image of the company. Just this Emerson dude doesn't like it.
He plays the dad card.
Yeah.
Like it or not. Wait, let's see here. The face of Q-Core. What is that? It's not zoomed in. Putiful? Beautiful? It's not zoomed in on mine.
Is performing, Q-Core is performing well?
I'm going to say beautiful. Son carrying on his father's legacy. You need to be visible. Do the PR thing. What's PR?
Public relations.
Is it beautiful? Dutiful.
Dutiful. Okay, dutiful. That means he's not doing what
he's
supposed
to do. Yeah, I just realized that because I had it zoomed out so much.
Okay.
So he's saying, be like your dad.
Yeah, which...
And Ollie's like, shove it, hire a spokesperson, I don't have time for this, isn't me.
Yeah, I'm not going to be your mouthpiece, sorry.
No.
Story cuts, and we see this superhero-ish wannabe guy called Alpha, and he has been recruited by... a group of more street-level bad guys. And not only are they street-level, but maybe one of them, a couple of them, are dressed in what would resemble a uniform, and the rest are not.
We saw two of them last issue.
Right.
The guy, he was wearing gloves. His name was Supercharge or something like that.
Do you remember a name for the group?
No.
I'm not sure if I remember the name.
Just go ahead. I'll look while you're doing
okay.
that.
Okay, Alpha is here. He's been invited by the leader to join the group, and come to find out that what they're going to do is they're going to use Alpha in their latest PR, or really not PR, but attention getting scheme to get this group attention, but also to draw out Green Arrow by what they're doing so that they can fight and defeat Green Arrow, because he was the one that defeated a couple of their group members last issue.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the sense that something is going on, because everybody in the group is acting one way and this alpha guy is acting another way. So it's kind of like they all know something, but nobody has told Alpha. And the big thing about this group in this new DCU is that they're not necessarily out to rob banks and do all that kind of stuff. They want attention.
Yes.
They want the most YouTube hits. They want the most hits on their website, everybody to be talking about them, to go viral. And that's how they measure how that's
evil.
Their riches.
Yes.
Is by how popular they are on the internet. So they're all these bad things that they're doing, they're not doing them to like gain, you know, money and stuff. They're doing it to gain fame, because what they do is turn around and post videos of what they do on YouTube and
right,
places like
right,
that.
Right.
So Ollie is in the equivalent of the new Green Arrow lair, let's say, with his information guru Adrian, who is monitoring, like, you know, all the satellite feeds and all the news feeds and all this stuff. And she runs across the video that this group of thrill seekers put up, in which they beat up and killed Alpha.
I mean, they beat the crap out of him. It wasn't even cool. I was like,
yeah.
Come on, he just wants to be a part of you guys. He's like your biggest fan, and you're just going to beat the crap out of
yeah,
him.
Yeah, yeah. And in this video, they call Green Arrow out.
Yeah.
Because now they have done something wrong. They've killed somebody, so they don't know that'll be enough to get Green Arrow to come after him.
I did get it right. His name was Supercharge, the one with the gloves where Green Arrow shot. He just shot regular arrows through his hands.
Oh, remember? Yeah. Okay.
And it just stopped him. Yeah, his name was Supercharge.
Okay, so Green Arrow is, you know, he's suiting up. He's taking the challenge. He's going to go after him. And his armorer comes in.
Does it say his name?
No, not that I see. And he's showing him his latest expansion
inventions
that allows him to take out multiple targets. And what it does is it's like a giant inflatable, like,
airbag
raft or
yeah.
airbag, but it's like 15 or 20 of them put together.
Mm-hmm.
And so what it does is it blows up and it separates
into multiple
him from whoever he shot it at.
Yeah.
So if something is going wrong, it creates this space that would allow him to, like, get away if he's outnumbered or something like that.
But they use breathable fabric, so there's no suffocation.
Right, so that if he shoots it in a small area and they're pinned,
yeah.
they don't suffocate.
He said it's designed to stop people, not smother them.
Right. So then after this little display of what his armorer is doing, and perhaps a little bit of attempted humor with the fact that it was there and Green Arrow got kind of surprised by
yeah.
all this stuff. Green Arrow goes out on patrol, and as he's patrolling, he is ambushed by several members of this thrill-seeking group who basically are holding him up until Rush can get there, because Rush is like the I think he's the heavy.
Yeah.
He's the leader, but I think he's also the heavy as far as powers.
He's probably got the login and password to the YouTube channel.
Probably, yes. Only him.
Yeah.
So several of them are teaming up on Green Arrow, and he uses some sort of flare arrow to temporarily blind them. Kind of gets the upper hand, looks like, and as he is pushing the fact that he gets upper hand, he is caught from behind by Supercharge.
Nope. I thought that was Rush. I thought Supercharge was the one with the gloves. The name's Rush.
No,
are we looking at
him,
the same one?
He calls him Supercharge here. This guy.
Who are you looking at?
The one that fired the stuff.
Oh, that was Supercharge.
Yeah. Rush is who he was fighting at first.
Yeah.
But then Supercharge hits him with whatever kind of energy or whatever.
I mean, like a whole bunch ahead of me. That's why I was thinking it was Rush.
And then he hits him with this energy and it knocks him into this next room.
Yeah.
And in the room, there are all of these floating cameras that this one guy had. And you can see it's the room that they filmed them beating up and killing Alpha.
Because he's still kind of there.
And all the other members of this team are there. So basically now what has happened is they've drawn Green Arrow out. They've lured him into this room. And now on live internet, and not TV, but internet, they're going to attempt to whatever. Beat mm-hmm. him up. Kill him probably is what they want to try to do.
I wonder who... Well, yeah, and he's got the chick there saying, "Oh, and Ollie, you're streaming live."
Yeah, Adrian, his tech person, she's seen him all of a sudden appear on these cameras, and she's letting him know, you know, whatever's going on is live. Everybody can watch
yeah.
it. So, and we see the next issue is the final showdown with Rush, and we also have the introduction of this new DC's Black Canary.
I can't wait to see them, because I don't think they were in this issue at all.
Them who?
Black Canary, like the person.
She? Yeah. Yeah. Over the course of time, she's been a love interest on and off.
Oh.
But.
I'm guessing this is her in the back page. She's got like a crossbow. Is this her? Keep going. You'll see it.
No, that's Huntress.
Never mind then.
In an ad for her. Or not an ad for her book, but just as a background.
Oh.
Yeah, I haven't seen any images of the new Black Canary. I don't know.
I didn't even know what she was supposed to look like.
I don't know what she's going to look like. She's a has-been. Now, again, you know, this is a new DC,
I think
so
you told me about her.
It's hard
before,
to say what she's
going to
do. She's all dressed in black. She's a martial artist expert. And she has this thing called a sonic scream, which...
You said sonic on a screwdriver?
No. Is just, you know, it can break through things. Mm-hmm. It can knock people away. She can do it to deafen them or blow out their eardrums if
yeah.
she wants. Or so. But, yeah, the biggest thing is that she, over the years, has been Ollie's love interest. So
they're introducing her again.
Yeah, we don't know if that's what it's going to be, if she's going to be a partner, if she's going to hate him, if maybe she's going to be an ex or, you know, we don't know.
Yeah, what
will
be the feelings.
So, okay. Those are the books that we were wanting to cover today, this episode. What did you think about those two adventure comics, Nick?
They had a totally different feeling than the ones they're making now, the
oh,
new
yeah.
ones. Just completely different. I mean, the storyline was good. I'm glad that we were able to finish up that two-part one
mm-hmm.
because I wanted to know what happened.
They're a lot more – they're not quite as serious,
no.
It doesn't feel like – You know, there's nothing about a group of people killing somebody to get the Green Arrow to come after them in those adventure comics.
Not at all. They're a lot more innocent, but I thought the second one we read about the Indians was a little weak sauce.
Okay.
Just a little bit. I mean, it was still good. It kept me entertained, but I wouldn't necessarily go out. I want a copy of issue 250, 257.
Or 254, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm not going to go out and, like, kill myself to get an issue of 254 as if it was, like, a different issue that I liked.
Right. What do you think about the new one? We've read a couple issues of it. Is it keeping your interest? Are you liking it or not? How do you feel?
I'm glad that they restarted it, but I guess I was going into it thinking it wasn't going to be as aggressive as killing a guy in the second issue, you know? I wouldn't expect anything like that, but I guess new times, people need to be entertained differently.
Well, I mean, it's kind of good to see that Ollie isn't really down with killing people.
Yeah.
Which, of course, with a bow and arrow would be pretty easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think, if I remember back in the first issue, this armorer that he hired, did he tell the armorer that he wanted non-lethal ways, or did the armorer tell him that that's all that he was going to make? Wasn't it the armorer that said?
No, I think that Ollie asked for some dangerouser arrows, more dangerous. Yeah, more
okay.
dangerous arrows. And the armorer said, like, I'm on your staff to make you arrows to subdue criminals, not kill or hurt them.
Okay, so
something like that.
So
I think
his weapons maker is non-lethal.
But
which shows that maybe Ollie would be if he could.
Yeah, but that's not what his weapons maker is there for.
Right, so, which, now that's going to be kind of interesting, because I'm sure there are going to be times in the writing that he will have the chance if he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, take here, for example. He's up against 8 or 9 people.
The robot dressing guy, the big black muscular guy, Rush, the beast guy, Supercharge, the girl with white hair, or the bluish white hair and the outfit, and then there was just another girl.
Right, so that's 7.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's way outnumbered, so what would be better than, you know, like killing a couple to reduce the number so they don't get back up and attack you?
Right.
You know,
because you can't sit there and consistently and evenly take a 7 on at once.
Right. So
I don't care how good you are.
You know, this would be a good chance, but I bet we won't see him resort to anything like that. You're right. This new Green Arrow is, the writing is kind of aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Green Arrow isn't necessarily, but yeah, it's very just
8.
Aggressive.
8
bad guys.
The guy that was able to levitate the cameras.
Right.
That
okay.
was 8.
So 8, and then let's not forget Lyman Light.
9, 10.
Which haven't showed up, but they could.
And Dynamex, the one that could split herself.
Right. So there's
if she ever gets out.
Yeah. But there's another member that we haven't seen that's maybe unaccounted for that could show up as reinforcements.
Anytime, you know, she could have broken out of what was she like in a treatment facility.
Yeah. So there we go. You know, he's going to be really outnumbered. Maybe what happens is Black Canary comes and helps. Maybe that's how
right.
she's introduced,
because yes.
she finds out, maybe she's watching or something and finds out that he's outnumbered as much as
yep.
he is and goes to help him because she happens to be right there.
Wouldn't that be a cool issue?
That would be pretty cool. And it should just be out like maybe next week, because I think the first week of the month is when the Green Arrows have been hitting.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I'll be over here next week.
All right, guys. We don't really have any feedback that we've received. But if you guys do want to send us some, you can send us some at earth1emeraldarcher@gmail.com.
Yes.
That's the number 1.
All one word, too. No underscores or anything.
Right. The website is comicbooknoise.com/emeraldarcher. One word. We do have a Facebook fan page.
This is true.
Emerald Archer. 2 words. And also, if any of you guys are on Google+, you can circle Edward Moore Jr. That's me. And when these shows go up, I have been posting notice that they're up. But also be aware that I post notice about other shows because we do
multiple
other shows.
Teal Industries is a busy company.
And every now and then I'll post other stuff on Google+, but not a whole lot. Mainly it's just for the podcast stuff. But Emerald Archer isn't the only one I'll post. Do want to thank Mr. Derek Coward, the brains behind all the techie kind of stuff about posting and
hosting.
Statistics and
right.
hosting and all that kind of stuff. So thanks a lot, Derek, and glad to hear and see that the new employment is working out pretty productively for you. That's excellent. Nick, on the way out the cave here, is there anything else you want to say?
Just nope. can't think of anything.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, guys, and we will see you again next time. Thanks for stopping by.
Staying new to your pets.
Okay, Bob. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye, guys.
This is a Teal production.